Now that we got that over with, Romans chapter 8.
Just don't forget the basket. Yeah.
I was looking at the game. The only thing was the toy basket. And I was going, oh, well, it's big enough. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, going to read verses 26 and 27 today. Wanted to get into 28 also, and it goes very well, but it also goes with 29 and 30, so I figured we'll wait till next week with that. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this truth, the truth that we're not here by ourselves praying. We're not here handling this all by ourselves. Lord God, you have given us your Spirit. And Father God, we utilize your Spirit without even knowing it. Thank you so much for the helper that you have given, the guarantee of our salvation. Lord God, the down payment, the earnest money for what we have in store for us. Thank you so much. You've given us your love, your grace. Father, you've given us so much. We love you. Thank you for this truth here. I pray that you would help us this morning as we delve into it, as we seek to understand it even more and apply it to our life. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. In Romans, we've come this far. The Apostle Paul has written this book wanting to teach people justification by faith, teach them the truth of being justified by faith alone. And he does so by showing us that everyone is condemned. Everyone is condemned under sin, and yet there is the faith of Abraham. There is the faith that we can have through our father, Abraham, through the one, our spiritual father, Abraham. And he tells us that in chapter 4. In chapter 5, he looks at Adam's sin and Christ's obedience, how both of them had ramifications to the whole world. In chapter 6, we see that are we to even mess with sin? No, it's no longer our identity. It's got nothing to do with us. So should we then sin all we want? No, it's not even a question. That meganoitia means it's not even a question. He goes into chapter 7 and talks about the law. Is the law sin? No, that's not the problem. And a Christian living in the midst of that, he goes into his own life and says, look, I do what I don't want to do. I don't do what I do want to do. Who can save me from this body of death? He says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he opens up chapter 8 and says, there's no condemnation. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So this is an exciting book. It's a book of truth and how grace rules, how grace has the new covenant of grace has taken hold. And he shows us also how that produces a different mindset in us and the proof of this being led by the Spirit and having a spirit of adoption and our spirits communicating with God, knowing that we are his children. Then he goes on and talks about the groaning of creation. We looked at that last week, the groaning of creation, or the week before, I guess. How the creation groans and desires to be remade, desires what the coming of the Lord, and how we ourselves groan. And then he goes on and expands on this because he touched on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. He says in verse 26, go back to verse 25. But if we hope for what we did not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. In other words, our hope in Christ is not a fleeting hope. It's an absolute assurance that this is going to take place. So we in our spirit, we in our life know that what God says is true and know that he will come again. And he will come again for us. And it goes on in verse 26. What we're going to look at today is the Holy Spirit is on our side. Isn't that fun? The Holy Spirit isn't just an entity that's pushing us here or there. The Holy Spirit is on our side. He is our helper. It says in verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. In the same way, the Spirit is sent to us as in the New Testament calls him a paraclete. That's the Greek word for it. And what that is someone who comes alongside to help. It's a compound word, alongside and to help alongside. Now, it explains that as we get into this, but he says in the same way, just the same as creation is groaning, the same as we are groaning and we have that hope, the Spirit helps. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. The word helps here is a tremendous word. It's a compound word, but it's three parts, three specific parts. The first one means together. The second one is to carry with, and the third one is beside. So literally, that word means to come alongside to ease the strain and lighten the burden. It's a picture of someone who is struggling, carrying a water, trying to pick up a water jug and carry it, and someone comes alongside and grabs it and picks it up, and they carry it together. That's the picture of that word specifically. And he says that the Spirit doesn't come and take over that burden, doesn't come and take it completely away from us, but helps us in managing that burden. Okay? That's the picture. Because it's something specific here. It's not just in general. It's not everything. But look what it says. In the same way, the Spirit also takes that burden, helps us with that burden, our weakness. Okay? Now, we're looking at a specific weakness. That word is in the singular. So it's a specific weakness. It's not just all of our weaknesses, because we have a bunch. Okay, everybody knows that I have a bunch. And does the Spirit help me in my weaknesses? Absolutely. Okay, and that's spoken of in other parts of Scripture. But here, there is a specific weakness that every one of us has. Okay, and the Spirit comes alongside, right alongside of us, because He's in us, and lifts that burden and helps us in managing that burden. It doesn't make sense until we get into this, okay? But once we get into this, I think you'll see that it we're not talking about taking the full load, but making it manageable, making it easier to manage manageable load. Specifically here, we're talking about a spiritual weakness, not a physical weakness, and I'll show you that. Look what it says. For we do not know how to pray as we should. We do not know, and the word know is oida, it's that word that's in the perfect tense. We do not fully, completely understand how to pray as we should. We don't. There is an inability in us to know that, to perfectly understand it all, to have a full knowledge of it. But I want to dissect this here, because it says we do not know how to pray as we should. The word how is literally what, okay? Because we're not talking about something physical. In other words, we're not talking about how to pray. We're not talking about our position in prayer, whether we should be on our knees, whether we should stand in prayer, whether we should hold our hands up in prayer, or have our palms like in the New Testament, they had held their palms out to receive the blessing. The blessing was coming, so they held their, when they prayed, they held their hands out, their palms up, their hands open. Okay, so the position in prayer isn't what we're talking about. He's not saying you don't know perfectly how you should sit when you pray. That's not what he's saying. He's also not saying you don't know how perfectly what you should say or how to say it. In other words, our prayers don't have to be eloquent. They don't need to be said a certain way for God to hear. Some of the best prayers I think mankind has ever prayed was in dire situations where they're hanging upside down, or in some other, in the mud hole, and they pray. In a car accident, they're praying. Okay, so the position or what they pray, what they say, isn't so much what he's saying here. He's not saying that the Spirit will tell you what exact words to say. That's not what he says. So our prayers don't need to be in a certain position. Our prayers don't need to be certain words to make them eloquent. But he says here that that we don't know how or what we need to pray in every circumstance, especially. We do know what we need to pray in general. We pray for God's will. We pray for growth. We pray to be conformed to the image of God. We pray to deny that we would deny sin. We pray to grow in Christ, that we would grow in Christ. Okay, we know in general what we should pray for. And as we get into certain specific situations, we have desires. And the word says that God gives us the desires of our heart. He puts desires in our heart. So when I hear of one of you that has cancer, I say, I want to pray. I pray that God will heal you because that's my desire. That's what he gives me as a desire. But the problem is we don't know what to pray for as to how God will accomplish the end product. I don't know what will teach you or reach you or teach others around you or accomplish God's will perfectly. I don't know what that is because my mind is finite. I am finite. I am not infinite. I don't have God's immutability, his omniscience, his total wisdom. I don't know how he will use this disease for his good. I don't know how he'll use this death for his good. I don't know how he will use this situation and how we respond to others. So the problem is, I don't know exactly what to pray for. So should we pray? And if we should pray, how should we pray? Well, you go into Philippians chapter 4, and it says what? Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication. What is that? Our request. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So the how is with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And then the why. Why do we pray? And then the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts through Jesus Christ. You want peace from God? Then you pray according to God. We pray, we give him our requests, we give him our petitions with thanksgiving, and then we have peace. But how is it that we have peace? Because what I'm praying for didn't happen. What I'm wanting doesn't happen. Go on. Look what it says. This is fun. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but, and that but is Allah, it's the complete opposite, on the complete opposite other hand, the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself. Now, whenever you have the Spirit himself or this person himself, it's very emphatic in the original language. The Holy Spirit, wham! It's kind of like a great announcement. But the Spirit himself, God himself, who's actually the Spirit, he intercedes. And the word intercedes, great word. It means to approach someone with a complaint, to bring my issue to someone's attention. Not my way, but to bring the issue to someone's attention. So God the Spirit is bringing my issue, which I'm praying about, by the way. This is when we pray. I'm praying about this, and God the Spirit is right alongside of me, bearing this burden also, grabbing this burden, and bringing this to God the Father. So God the Spirit is bringing it to God the Father, groaning, the same word as back here, groaning with words too deep to utter, without words, beyond words. Have you ever been in a time like that when you simply couldn't say anything? When your heart wanted to say it, you couldn't say it. All you could do was feel it. All you could do was groan it. All you could do was be there. You could not voice it. This is what the Spirit does for us. This is God's Spirit. Remember, this is God, the Holy Spirit, groaning, sighing, deeply moving towards God the Father. Okay? So the Spirit moving the Father. God the Spirit moving God the Father. For us, okay? Go on. Because this is our assurance. Look at verse 27. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. He who searches the hearts. Who is that? It's God the Father, right? Because man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Right? I wouldn't love to do that. I was going to say, I would love to see your heart. No, I let God look at your heart, okay? Because I don't want you looking at mine. Right? But God does look at our heart. God can look at our heart and see exactly what we need, not exactly what we want. Because what I want is still clouded with my flesh. We here, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ, you are still in the flesh. You have a new spirit. You've been given a new, you've been made new by Jesus Christ, but you still have this entity called the flesh. That's why we still sin. And that oftentimes clouds us, because what do we want? We want people to be happy, right? We want our children to be happy. Problem with that is happy comes from the word happiness, which comes from the word circumstance. Happenstance, which comes from circumstance. Okay, it all comes back down to the circumstance. So in certain circumstances, I feel happy. See, that's where we get mixed up with what's joy and what's happy. So I want to see you happy. The problem is, I want to see you have joy. God wants you to have true joy. Sometimes that involves happiness, sometimes it doesn't. But it always involves peace, and it always involves trust. And this is what he is building here. Look what he says, verse 27. He who searches the hearts knows, and that word knows is again in the perfect tense, he knows completely, totally what the mind of the Spirit is, because it's his mind. Because he is God. He knows completely, totally what the mind of the Spirit is, but the Spirit I got back on the last verse. Because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Because according to God, he intercedes on behalf of the holy ones. That's what it, if you translated it literally, that's what it would be. Because according to God, he intercedes on behalf of those who are holy. This, the word saints is hagios. It comes from hagios. It's the holy ones. So the Holy Spirit, God the Father, knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he is interceding. He is standing between, helping, lifting, helping with that burden. He's doing that on behalf of those who are holy, those whom God those who have trusted in Christ, those who are his children. God can see our heart, what we really desire. Remember, we're in the flesh still. Even though we want God's will, we also desire our own will. And that clouds oftentimes what God's will really is. God sees all that. He listens to the one living in us, bringing up the issue on our behalf. You know, we want a certain outcome. And trust me, I've talked to people who qualify their belief on God on a certain outcome. Well, if God were true, he would. Okay? That goes completely against the nature of God. Why? Because God loves us so much that he might allow something that would do something else. I'll give you an example. Let me make sure I got room here for any. Yeah, I'll give you my example. This week, I was talking to Dave Buford, Danielle's dad, Danielle McCoy's dad. And he was there the day after she got her lungs. Now, all of this time, we have been praying for Danielle, right? We have been praying for her to get a new set of lungs. We have been praying for her to be out of this dire situation she was in. We've been praying for her at least since last August, and before even before that. Last August is when she went to Seattle. I was talking to Dave this week, and he said, Danielle, he said, I was there the day after that she got her new lungs. And he said, the doctors came and talked. I talked to two specific doctors, and both of them looked at me and said, you know what? We cannot take credit for this. They both said, you don't understand how bad that was. You really don't understand how bad that was. She should never have been here. We cannot take credit for this. Those doctors needed something. They're the ones, they are one of the reasons that God allowed this to go from August to April. They are one of the reasons. Dave could have needed to see it. Others could have. Dave was telling me about the power of prayer. Others needed to see. So there are so many here. We needed to stand on Christ. We needed to pray. We needed to see God work. Do you see why God allows something that we say, boy, you shouldn't have done that, God. You shouldn't have allowed that. Why would you allow that in their life? And yet there are people who were touched and pointed to God because of that. I would never have prayed, come last August, I would never have prayed, Lord, wait till April and then let her find some lungs and then show your power that way. I wouldn't pray. I didn't know. I didn't recognize what was truly needed. God does. You see how that builds trust in us? Because I don't recognize what's going on with my family. I don't recognize what's going on with my church family. I don't recognize when somebody has cancer, when somebody is diagnosed with something else, when somebody dies. I don't recognize what all God is doing. I don't. So oftentimes I fall back on, why, God? You ever said that? Why, God? I've worked so hard. Why do you... Okay, we see it as punishment. This is our punishment. And yet God is using that for his purpose that we're oblivious to that purpose. We don't even see what God is doing. But the Spirit knows. The Spirit knows. The groaning of the Holy Spirit. He knows us. He knows our hearts and he loves us. He knows our needs more than we do. What we truly need to grow us spiritually, which is more important than to grow us money-wise, to grow us in fame, to grow us in our relationship, to grow us in all of the aspects that look so successful here on this earth. I did Jack Jones' funeral yesterday up in Des Moines and had the opportunity to ask, so what does success look like to you? What does success look like? Having a lot of money? Having a nice car? Having a nice house? And yet Jack was gone and he left all that here. And my point was, oftentimes we don't recognize success like the world. I mean, the way the world looks at it, we shouldn't be looking at it that way. Because success to me was how many people were there, was the relationships that he had and had built. And success to me is how God sees us, how God views us. But In all of that, we have a tendency to pray our will, okay? And we sometimes qualify God on it. Well, God, if you don't do this, then what kind of God are you? We have a tendency to pray our will. But God is right in us, with us, lifting that burden, helping us, and groaning before the Father so that we would get what is even better than our happiness. You know there's something better than our happiness? Isn't that amazing? I can't think of anything right now, right? I just can't think of anything better than my happiness. Guess what? There is a huge amount of better than our happiness because of the eternal mindset of God. God loves us more than just to give us happiness, okay? And that's what he's doing. That's what he is doing in us. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. That's our weakness. That is the problem that we have. Can we trust him in his working, even if it hurts? Our weakness is, and it goes to all of us, our weakness is we cannot know the full extent of God's heart. You see, God sees his creation from the beginning when he created to the end, right here. He sees it all at once. He's out here looking. We see it from here to here. We're right in here. We see that. And that's all we can see. But God says, you know what? I know what's going to happen in 10 years. And what you are doing today will affect what's going to happen in 10 years. God not only sees it, he puts it all together. We have a God who is intrinsically entwined in us. He's wound up in us. He's intertwined in all of our affairs. Do you suppose he knows what our issues are? Do you suppose he can use our issues to grow us? Do you suppose he can use our issues to grow somebody else that we don't even know? See, so often somebody says, why is God allowing this in my life? And I'm going, really? I have no idea. Because it may be the person that saw you last week. It may be someone that in next week that you're going to say something to and they're going to be pointed to God. I have no idea how God is putting this together. That's why I don't know how to pray. Oftentimes, I don't know how to pray. So I revert back to what it says. I thank God and I give him my petition, my prayer, my supplication, which is most always, get better. Why? Because that's what I see. All right? And yet, always at the end of that, it's the same thing as what Christ prayed. Lord, if this cup can pass from me, great, but not my will, but yours be done. You know what that is? That is trust. That is not, it's not blind trust. It's not blind. I'm not talking about blind faith here. I'm talking about faith knowing the one who can change things or who can lead them on the way they are to change somebody else's life. I'm talking about a knowing faith, a knowledgeable faith in who we belong to and how great God is. We can have that, okay? That's, and the only way we can have it, though, is when we're praying, we know the Spirit is praying at the same time. You know what that gets us back to? Our prayers. We need to pray. We need to pray. That's when the Spirit starts groaning. And that's when we start growing because we're praying and we see the answer and we say, you know what? That's not what I was hoping for, but God can use that. And that's what builds our trust in all of this. Do you suppose he knows what the issues are? Yes. And he can grow others with it. Even when it's not what I prayed for, it's called trust. It's a knowing trust. Even when God allows you to go through a river, even when he allows you to go through a valley, he never lets you go alone. And by the way, according to Hebrews, that's never, 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 never. Never, 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 never. That's five nevers. He never forsakes you. Never leaves. Never, 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 never. And that means it's really never. It's not like English, where it's positive, negative, positive, negative, positive. It's really never, completely. He will never let us go it alone. He may be using you to touch others that you'll never know. So are you his? Do you have the Spirit? If you've never trusted in Christ, you don't have the Spirit. If you've trusted in Jesus Christ, he is right here, right in you, right now, lifting that burden with you. When you pray, don't worry about how you pray. Don't worry about your position in prayer. Because he will pray right alongside of you. But you still need to pray. Not for God's benefit. You know, so often I think we pray for God's benefit. It's not for God's benefit. It's for our benefit. It's to grow our trust. It's to grow our heart in him. And you know what happens then? Verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. That's why we can trust him. Ah, that's next week. So, okay. If you've never trusted Christ, I would love to show you from God's word how you can have that relationship. If you have, then know this. Whatever the situation, whatever the issue, you have somebody greater than you groaning with words, without words, with not even able to speak. Groaning his heart for you, but it may not be in the same words that you're using. It may not be the same way you're thinking, but you know what? You can trust him. He's greater than you. He knows everything about you. He knows every intricate little thing about you, and he's putting it all together. It's like a puzzle. He is building. He's not scattering it. He's building it. He wants to build you. He loves you that much. Let's close in prayer.